Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Guy de Labre's message for Sunday, the 10th of March. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The crowd disrupts Jesus' plan to isolate himself with his disciples. This text then refers to the welcome of Jesus and that of the disciples. It also refers to the needs of the people, welcomed both spiritually, by teaching, and physically, by healing and food, a state of emergency. At the beginning of this new adventure, Jesus does his part by giving teaching and healing. The disciples began in this kind of exercise. Luke 9, verses 2 and 6, and Luke 9, verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They departed and they went from village to village, announcing the good news and healing everywhere. And here the disciples will be initiated into an unexpected service, feeding a crowd of at least 5,000 people. The difficulty faced by the disciples is not the quality of the product. These are very common commodities in that place, but the quantity to produce and, subsequently, to put together a discourse on the kingdom of God and the reality of daily life, the impact of the gospel on everyday life. What seems natural is nevertheless imbued with the supernatural. The disciples' opinion is entirely reasonable. Go to the surrounding areas to find accommodation and food. But Jesus becomes demanding and subjects them to a process of faith. Here, is it possible to feed more than 5,000 people? Is it possible to feed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Is it possible to feed all these people now, immediately? God's will is to make us understand that it is indeed possible, and even beyond the needs of the moment, since 12 baskets were needed to collect the remaining pieces. Here are the facts. These are almost unique facts, qualifying as miraculous and, as has also been interpreted, with an allegorical teaching. Jesus, taking the opportunity to teach his disciples and the crowd's presence, heeded the disciples' question, "What shall we do with this crowd now that evening is coming?" Jesus then showed during his lifetime that the reign of God touches the person in their most natural need, eating, without waiting, without bothering, without reasoning. Jesus therefore speaks in the form of a prayer of blessing, classic for the Jewish people, and an extraordinary thing, the meal is truly blessed. 12 full baskets will remain, as if to say, "Perhaps and why not? Where are the others in need? Or you, my 12 disciples, each take a basket and continue the work you have begun." Here are the facts. These are facts which also take us back to our view of Christian witness in the world, of our own witness. It is legitimate for us to question our abilities to fulfil a mission on subjects that affect our daily life, our limits, our way of reacting, the place we give to our reasoning. But precisely, in my reasoning, what part do I attribute to God, to the supernatural? Can I open myself to God's teaching, listen to his word, perhaps to today's word, and review my position, my analysis, my limits? I believe today's text reminds us that God has his say in every earthly situation. Today's text also reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. Be careful, however, of the spiritual pride that can inhabit us after considering this miracle of Jesus. Jesus himself resisted the tempter early in his ministry, if only to turn stones into bread. Beyond these considerations, let us focus on what the disciple of Christ is duty-bound to understand and assimilate. The role of the disciple is to welcome anyone, to care for anyone. In the parallel Gospels, it is a question of the compassion of Jesus, and to be willing to speak of salvation in Jesus Christ, who alone opens the door to the kingdom of God. The role of the disciple is to remain in contact with the daily lives of our fellow citizens, at the risk of questioning our insufficiency and our limits. But then it is a good start. The door is not closed. The attitude of the disciple is to turn to God for the right advice and not to remain idly faced with the problems that arise. The attitude of the disciple is not to procrastinate, not to put off until tomorrow what seems to have to be dealt with the same day. Jesus was able to say, John chapter 9 verse 4, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." The attitude to reject, apart from misplaced spiritual pride, would be to disconnect from reality, to live one's faith in isolation, to cultivate an attitude of indifference which could give rise to a judgment or rejection of the other, to consider Christian language to be retrograde, out of date, not appropriate or not adaptable. Here, I am thinking of the timidity or reserve that one might have when it comes to sharing even an opinion or Christian value. Within the prevailing secularism, which sometimes rejects all Christian values, it can be difficult to give an opinion. But is it impossible? Furthermore, should we bend too easily to the fashions of the day, to the thoughts of the present century? Paul asks us to be careful of the present century. Do not conform. May we seek to be renewed in our minds to grasp what pleases God. To believe oneself to be too small or too much of a minority in the face of the issues that arise and the efforts required to meet the challenge. An example. I'm reading to you here a few sentences from a book which touches on the place of the Bible, of God, in the life of marginalised people, in prison or rejected in Mexico. But beyond these lines, I think we need to understand that there is a risk on our part of limiting the work of grace through defeatism or weariness. Pages 284 and 285, Reading the Bible with the Excluded. An extract. It was while trying to follow Jesus among the Samaritans, lepers, tax collectors and sinners of today that I understood that we had to change sides and allegiances, placing fidelity to Jesus above all authorities and all powers can only be the fruit of a conversion in the sense of a change of mentality, of metanoia, literally change of mind. It is this conversion that is in question when Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This transformation, through the renewal of intelligence, is therefore the fruit of conversion, and this word literally means to change direction or to turn around. Reading Paul with undocumented immigrants and detainees calls us to a radical change of direction, abandoning our allegiances to the state, to religious denominations and to the authorities with their laws and doctrines, to walk fully and resolutely in the wake of the one crucified, with him outside the camp. It is in the death of Christ, in his ignominious death, as a transgressor of the law that we must be baptized if we really want to become bearers of the good news for people like Feliciano, Antonio, Andre, Maria, Giulio and Seferino, and all the undocumented immigrants and outlaws of today. The speech of the author of these words, Bob Ecklab, is not classic but nevertheless deserves attention and reflection on our attitudes and reflexes. Today's text challenges us to integrate God into our daily lives, however complicated it may be, and not to neglect manifesting the works of the kingdom of God in the person as well as on the spiritual level, only on the physical and material level. Let's not give up too quickly or hand over the hot potato to someone else too easily. Final note. This particular event takes place after the day had begun to decline. The verb klino in Greek. In the entire New Testament, there is only one other passage where we speak of the day waning, and it is that of the disciples of Emmaus in the same Gospel of Luke. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Luke chapter 24, verse 29. We know the rest of the story of the disciples of Emmaus at home. Jesus will pronounce the blessing on the bread, break it, and give it to the disciples. It is perhaps no coincidence that Luke uses the same expression in our story, the action of Jesus during a daily meal on which he invokes God's blessing, opens eyes to a new reality. Prayer is not simply a tradition, it is truly the expectation of God's blessing, and through the testimonies received, it is realizing that the evening, a source of weariness, sometimes of fear, an indication that a limit to the day is not an end. The day is waning, certainly, but it is still light. The evening with Jesus is still a source of life and hope. For the disciples of Emmaus, it is joy that animates them from now on, and they turn around towards the other disciples to share their joy. U-turn equals conversion. In today's story, the meal is truly a blessing for all those who participate, whether for a crowd of 5,000 men who eat their fill against all expectations, or for the disciples who will now have to manage the distribution of 12 baskets of food. Just like these crowds or these disciples, let us allow ourselves to be won by the blessing of God possible, manifested in Jesus by his teaching, his death and his resurrection, his proof of new lives reported by the evangelists. This is what constitutes our resource, our assurance, our peace, our faith, our determination, so as not to easily give in to weariness and discouragement. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen."